Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fav for Casinos USA Podcast, and welcome to our 85th episode, Think 98.5%. And we welcome you to Western Pennsylvania on this April 9th day, but we cover casinos coast to coast, not just here in PA. And a big hello to our digital audience. They're packing them in today. So thanks, everybody. Thanks for coming. All right, let's get started. 98.5%, what's that all about? Well, you know, we were talking about casino memories because they're all closed now with this COVID-19 pandemic that's hitting us across the country. And we certainly embrace the phrase, stay safe, stay strong, you know, follow the guidelines given to us by the CDC. That's all reasonable, and that's all something we should be doing. And our hearts go out to those families who have lost someone to this terrible, terrible disease. But, you know, we've been gambling in casinos for such a long time, and we're quite aware that the odds are against us when we gamble in a casino. And I don't care what game it is. You know, you can say this or say that, but there's a tremendous house edge. But what if it wasn't a house edge against you? What if the house edge was against the opponent? And just to be positive in the face of this pandemic. Under current models, 98.5% of Americans will survive this pandemic. We wish it was 100%. Certainly. All of us wish that it was 100%. But it's not going to be 100%. And according to the model, it should be 98.5%. And that's a bet that all gamblers can embrace. We still listen. We still live our lives the way that the CDC wants us to, but the odds are in our favor, extremely in our favor. So that being said, we're going to be discussing today just some principles that you can take with you when casinos do reopen, and these principles make the experience all the more enjoyable. So a short break, and we'll be right back to talk about principles to enhance your casino experience. Hang on, coming back. You know, presently, millions of Americans are suffering through unemployment and layoffs. All of us are suffering through a severe economic downturn. And we are getting some relief from our government, and you can say it's great, you could say it's barely adequate, whatever. But the first thing we could talk about to enhance our casino enjoyment when they finally do open is not to take money that's so necessary for us to provide for our family, to pay our debts, and not to blow it in a casino. I just want to say it, don't turn the podcast off. I mean, I have casino fever. Like I said before, there's no doctor to call. They're not treating that. I can't wait to get back. But I'm not saying I'm going to use this money I'm receiving from the government to gamble with. I'm going to learn to enjoy casinos maybe in a different way. You know, play with less money, play for shorter time periods, etc. So I'm asking you to think about that. One of these principles is to be responsible. You know, gambling with money you can lose is what you need to do. And gambling is the last thing you need to worry about when you have some money coming in. So please, please, despite the fact that you want to get back and you want to enjoy casinos again, and boy, so do I, just don't be foolish when they do open up. You know, be smart, be wise. Jimmy the Greek is credited with this phrase, and I got that secondhand, but he supposedly once said, never play with scared money. And scared money is money you just cannot afford to lose. So I think that's the first principle, is when I go back to a casino, I'm not taking scared money with me. Because I know when I gamble, there's a damn good chance I could lose it. So let's all think about that. What are you thinking, partner?
Excellent. Absolutely excellent.
and I'm sure the great majority of our listeners, there's people that you know, your neighbors, your friends, family members, that you want to help. You know, if you did okay and you survived and you can spare some change, you know, you got a younger sister that is driving back to work again with bald tires and, you know, I mean, things like that, things you just have to replace. So, you know, think deeply into that scared money thing. And I'd even go further than that. You know, there's other priorities. But that being said, I can't wait to get back. I just can't wait to get back. I remember I said this like, what, 30,000 times in 85 podcasts. One thing I have to embrace again is to quit when I'm ahead. Quit when I am ahead. To quit playing, to quit gambling when I'm ahead, and celebrate the win. Celebrate the win. Come on, celebrate the win, you know? Going to a casino is fun, but it's a hell of a lot more fun when you win. So if you do get to jump on a casino, and anybody can do that in the short term, you know, quit and celebrate. You know, celebrate. Okay, that's my second principle to maximize your enjoyment. Quit when you are ahead. And we've talked before about the gambler's lament, you know, oh, I should have quit when I was ahead. Oh, let's get past that. When you're ahead, quit. You know, and that being said, there's just so many con artists out there, you know, trying to tell you how they can make you money. And I think they cut across all industries, but boy, people that are promoting, you know, buy this, become the best roulette gambler in the history of the world. You know, this is how you beat baccarat. This is how you beat craps. You know, make $10,000 a day. Come on, man. You know, come on. Right? So don't fall for the con artists, because they're out there. Just go to YouTube and you'll find them. You'll find them. All right. And something that Janie, you know, smacks me in the head about, because this is one of her big commandments, you know, of recreational gambling, and she always points this out, and she lives it. There are other things to do at a casino resort besides gambling. And some of them is to have incredible spa experiences, workout rooms, you know, shops, window shop. At least that's fun. Swimming pools, and boy, goodness gracious, Janie and her swimming. You know, she can't wait to get the all clear that it's okay to swim in public pools and to get back to the casinos that where there's pools that she really enjoys, and getting her daily swimming routine in, that's important. So remember, when you go back to that casino or casino resort, I hope, it's there's other things to do besides gamble. And if you do gamble, please don't be a sore loser. You know, I always say, you know, share casino experiences with friends, significant others, etc. You can maximize your enjoyment that way. But, you know, so if you go with your spouse and your spouse wins and you lose, you know, don't get the long horse face, right? And, you know, bring people down because you lost, you know. Celebrate somebody else's win, all right? You know, just tell your spouse they're paying for the dinner, you know, because they had the big win. But don't be a sore loser. You don't want to take away from the enjoyment. I know there are groups of people that go to casinos together, right? So you've probably all been there where there's relatively, everybody's kind of happy. There's one person that brings everybody down because they complain about losing. Hey, we know there's a good chance you lose when you walk in the front door of a casino. Those listeners who live somewhere near northern Indiana, you know, the Midwest, probably are aware of the Blue Chip Casino in Michigan City, which is on the shores of Lake Michigan. It's a beautiful spot, beautiful spot. And it's 45 minutes from Notre Dame Stadium. So we've gone to so many Notre Dame home football games and stayed at the Blue Chip. And it's about 100 miles from Chicago. So a lot of Chicago, you know, Subway alumni, I guess, traveled down to the Blue Chip and stay there. And it's just fun. And also the visiting teams that are playing at Notre Dame stay there. And as often you'll see the coaches and the fans of that team in this casino with their colors on. It's just a lot of fun. Well, In one such occasion, I went with the guys that I work with, and our friend Scott, he was playing Keynote Machine. Of course, he was with Keynote Nick. This is something that Nick lives by, you know. But I'm not going to talk about it much more than that. But Scott put in, what, $5, $10, and in a few spins, he won $500. So in a few minutes, Scott came over and said, "Hey, I noticed our room didn't have a safe. Do they have safety deposit boxes here?" I said, "Yeah, sure, I get one all the time." So he and I walked over to the lobby area so he could go to the registration desk and get a safety deposit box to put his $500 in. Well, Nick is not far behind, and he says, "Scott, don't think for a second you're not paying for breakfast tomorrow, you know, for the six of us." So that's what we're talking about. You know, Nick lost that night, but Scott won, but Scott had to come up with the breakfast money. And I told the waitress, I called her aside and said, "That young man there, he won $50,000 last night. So if we get great service, I know he'll give you a big tip." And she just killed herself. And I felt so bad. I said, "We all got a tip." I told everybody what I said because she just gave us tremendous service. And, you know, I told her, I said, "Scott's single too, you know." And she said, "So am I." But that was a story that I think of to get me through this time period when I have such casino fever. You know, if you don't win yourself, enjoy and celebrate for whomever the person is that won that you're with. All right? It works. And, of course, if you're the winner and you don't want to do the things that they're asking you to do because you won, you can always remember this phrase.
"You are one pathetic loser."
Or even come back with something a little stronger.
"I hate you all so much!"
Or maybe the line from the old Rocky movie.
"I'm pitiful!"
Whatever. I think it's better to, you know, pay for drinks or pay for the next meal when everybody comes away happy. Just think about it. We had a very interesting call from Josh, who is a Casinos USA Facebook group member, and he lives in Pittsburgh. He's a real strong blackjack player. He plays most often at the Rivers, but he goes to Vegas quite often, and Josh and his wife Jess follow a certain group, and they go out to see the group all the time, and they were basically there for the last concert in Vegas, and he talks about the whole experience to be on the eve of the Vegas close down, shutdown with everything. So let's just take a very short break, and we'll come back, and we'll hear from Josh, and he'll tell you his experiences, you know, in the last few days of Vegas before the shutdown.
"Hey, Casinos USA, it's Josh from Pittsburgh. Just calling in to tell you about my trip to Vegas during a pandemic, which was incredibly weird. So, you know, just to start at the beginning, my wife and I flew out of Pittsburgh on March 11th, Wednesday. We flew into L.A. where we had a connecting flight, but when we got there, our flight was canceled, probably because of the virus and the fact that so few people were traveling. There were only supposed to be six people on our plane. So unfortunately, we couldn't wait for the next flight because we had a concert in Vegas Wednesday night that we wanted to get to. So we jumped in a car, we rented a car, and drove the 4 hours from L.A., which was pretty cool. Some nice scenery, but, you know, as soon as we hit the state line in California, between California and Nevada, you could just tell, you know, the normal prim resorts that are normally pretty busy were pretty much completely empty. There's a lot of casinos there at the state line so that the people from California don't have to drive the rest of the way into Vegas. And we saw that and realized that it was going to be a weird couple of days in Vegas. When we got there, the strip was pretty much empty. Not too many people out walking around. The traffic was down. We stayed at Mandalay Bay, and when we went to check in on Wednesday, March 11th, there were 12 workers waiting to check people in, and my wife and I were the only ones checking in. So that was a little bit eerie, because anybody who's ever been to Vegas knows how crazy the lines for check-in can be. So it was just weird. You know, some parts of the city were business as usual. Some of the bars were still crowded. We had our concert Wednesday night, so, you know, we were at a concert with over 5,000 people. That was still pretty normal. At that point, sports were still happening. when we woke up Thursday, though, that's when everything started to take an even weirder turn. That's when the NBA canceled their season, and then all the college basketball tournaments shut down. For the most part, the Pac-12 tournament still played on Thursday in Vegas at the T-Mobile Arena. So we still saw some fans from that. Thursday night, we thought maybe they were going to cancel the second night of our concert, which they didn't. So that was still pretty normal. Friday morning, that's when we woke up and they canceled the Pac-12 tournament in Vegas. So at that point, there were no more sports being played. It was very weird to walk by the sports book and see nothing happening. The poker rooms were pretty much empty compared to what they normally are. I still played a lot of blackjack. My wife still played the slot machines pretty regularly during the day. You know, we were just extra careful to sanitize after touching the chips, or she used wipes to wipe down the slot machines before she played. So that was still fairly normal, albeit completely empty casinos. Friday night, we still had our concert, and there were about 6,000 people there, so I'm guessing that I was at one of the last big events in the entire country on the day that they declared a pandemic. So, you know, we were fortunate. We went out there for a three-night concert, and we were able to see all three nights of our concert. But, you know, like I said, it was a little bit eerie just seeing the strip so empty. By the time we left Saturday morning, Mandalay Bay was already shutting down four additional restaurants, along with all the buffets that the M-Life properties closed. And then by Tuesday, 3 days later, after we were home, the entire city was shut down. So we were really there for the very last weekend of Vegas, you know, during the pandemic. Just to touch on a couple things, like all the dealers I talked to were, you know, they were pretty concerned, not necessarily because of the virus, but because of shutting down and, you know, losing their income, as so many people have unfortunately had happen. So that was a little bit weird, but, you know, they still tried to be positive and, you know, they did their jobs. And, you know, hats off to them, because it was still pretty scary being in the casinos at that time around so many people. You know, one of the worst parts of my trip was on Friday. I was playing blackjack at Mandalay Bay, and the USC basketball team, who had just had their tournament canceled and subsequently their entire season canceled, they were waiting to get on their plane, and a few of them sat down at the blackjack table with me. I talked to a senior point guard who was just absolutely devastated that this is how his senior year and his basketball career was going to end. So that was, you know, that was sad to talk to him. Obviously he understood why things had to happen that way, but, you know, just thinking about all those seniors out there, or even in high school seniors that don't get to experience those, you know, those great moments of their lives. So, you know, hopefully things can start to turn around soon. But my wife and I flew out Saturday morning back to Pittsburgh, and, you know, it was a nerve-wracking 14 days just waiting to see if we had picked anything up in our travels, but thankfully to this point we're still feeling good. So yeah, if you were wondering what Vegas was like those last couple of days it was open, it wasn't completely normal. It was still fun because it's Vegas, but at the same time it was kind of creepy to see all of the hustle and bustle just completely gone. So that's my trip report. Hope you enjoyed it. If you have any other questions, throw them up on the Casinos USA Facebook page, and I'll work with Coach Fab to get them addressed and answer anything you might want to know. Thanks. Have a great day.
Wow, what a powerful phone call from Josh. And again, I want to repeat what he said at the end, that, you know, one of the excruciating things for his family, for, you know, for Josh and his wife, was to wait out those 14 days when they were home to make sure that they didn't bring back a virus from Las Vegas. If you wanted to join our Casinos USA Facebook group, just go to Facebook and search Casinos USA, answer one question, and you're in. We have almost 600 people right now, part of our Facebook group, and we're happy about that. Spend a lot of time posting every day. And so you're quite welcome. And we share Josh's wish that this ends as soon as possible and we all can get back to our normal lives. And for many of us, that includes visiting casinos and visiting casinos without fear of contamination or picking up a disease. Wow. So let's just take a real quick break and we'll be right back. We're going to talk a little bit about craps today. Just a little bit of craps talk. Talk about hard numbers and hopping those hard numbers on the come out. And I like to hop every once in a while. I like to hop the 10, the hard 10. I put $2 on that hard 10. It's a one roll bet. 10. 30-1 on that come out. Make that hard 10. Oh, my. And you know the thing is, if I don't bet it, I know the damn thing will come up. All right. That takes care of crap stock for today. 36 ways to roll the dice. And numerically, if you're a place bettor or a pass line bettor, the 6 and the 8 look good. 5 ways to make a 6, 5 ways to make an 8. And that's why a lot of don't pass players, they say never lift up your don't pass, because you can lift up a don't pass bet. They'll lift them up on a 6 and 8. And say, I'm not going to challenge those two numbers. Or they'll go one roll, then lift them up, you know? Okay, there's some things to think about. Let's have a break, and we'll be back to close up the show, but I got one more thing to share with you before you go. Hey, all of us have been talking about the pandemic, and it's terrible. You know what, 182 countries, it's terrible. You know, we're at, on April 9th here, we're at 10,000 deaths in the United States, and hopefully we're on the way down. Hopefully we're on the way down, and we talked about that 98.5, the mortality rate for the expected mortality rate is 1.5%. Goodness gracious, and that's why we call this 98.5. That's the expected survival rate. I've been reading about the Spanish flu pandemic of 1917-1918, and my father was born in America in 1917. His father came over here from Italy, from northern Italy, about 1903, and then worked to save up money and bring his family and wife over. And my father was born in 1917. And you think about that generation, you know, growing up with the Spanish flu pandemic, and there was death all around them. My grandfather and grandmother survived it, but I never knew them. They passed on before I was born. But that's just a story about my grandparents and my own father growing up with, you know, being born at the height of that pandemic. That had to be terrifying for everybody involved. Goodness gracious. So we're not the only American generation to suffer through a pandemic, and hopefully we won't suffer nearly as much as that generation suffered, but it's terrible. There's no other way to say it. It's just terrible. But we want to stay with these podcasts. I know many of you are at home, and we're thinking of you, and you're listening to us, so we want to continue with these podcasts. And so far, Jeannie and I are okay, and I hope you and yours are the same way. Of course we do. And I'm not ashamed to say that we're a little nervous, too. We're senior citizens, and we're having groceries delivered tomorrow because we just don't want to take any chances. And that's just how it is. So I would ask that all of you be safe and be smart. And don't take any chances that you don't have to in picking up this coronavirus. And again, on this April 9th, Pittsburgh has barely had 100 people hospitalized. And we've had some death, but so far we've ducked this the big thing, you know, the big expansion of the virus. Let's just hope it continues. Get past it without losing more and more people, and keeping these hospitals from being overwhelmed. But so far, so good in Pittsburgh, and we hope it's so far, so good where you are. Okay, Casinos USA is a place where every day is Saturday, and we do seek life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I know that you do too. So thanks for listening. We'll see you in a couple weeks. Thank you.